Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Stu McLaren, your host for season 5 of the podcast. Michael, we're in studio. Welcome.
Good to see you, Stu.
Likewise. This episode is going to be fascinating because it is dealing with something that we have all dealt with at some point, and that is people that drain us.
Yes.
And when you are around somebody that drains your energy, it can affect you in so many different ways. And this happens in social circles, with friendships, yep, relationships. But it can be most devastating, especially in business settings.
Absolutely. It can destroy your business. It can really undermine it. It can impede your progress. A lot of bad things happen when you got the wrong people.
Yes. And recently, you heard something on Dan Sullivan's 10X podcast. And he had a metaphor that really kind of put this into context. Can you just kind of share it with us?
I love this. Dan's podcast, 10X Talk, is one of my go-to podcasts. I listen to every episode that comes out, and I really recommend that people do that. It's excellent. But he talked about there are two kinds of people in the world. The first kind is people that come with their own batteries, and the second kind is people that don't have batteries. And I thought, bam. That's a great metaphor because that's my exact experience. And he went on to describe some of the attributes of people that have batteries and people that don't have batteries. Another metaphor I heard, people that drain you, emotional vampires. You know, that's kind of a good one too. But this battery thing really clicked for me.
Yeah. And so you thought on that and you've got 5 warning signs that a person is going to drain your energy. And that's what we're going to talk about here today, because I think when we can identify those warning signs, it's going to make it clear that this is a person that's probably going to drain you rather than energize you.
Yeah, exactly. And all of this came about because one day my wife, Gail, asked me if I would consider hiring this friend that we know from church. And I said, no. I mean, just like that quick. And she said, really? So why did you respond so quickly? And I said, because I don't have batteries. And she said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, I was listening to Dan Sullivan, so I began to describe the thing. And so she kind of challenged me and said, well, what are the warning signs? What are the attributes? Because I agree with you. I don't think you should hire somebody. Certainly you can help somebody, but you don't have to hire them. But to bring a person like that into your company is going to be a drain on everybody. So what is it that's a warning sign that you look for? So I started reflecting on that, and I came up with this list.
Well, I'm excited because this is relevant for all of us, regardless of whether we're going to be hiring somebody ourselves, but most importantly, just to be aware of it, because again, who we surround ourselves with is either going to drain us or energize us.
Totally right.
And so we want to make sure that we're putting ourselves around people that are going to energize us. So let's dive into this. What's the first warning sign of somebody that's going to drain you?
Well, the first sign is that they enjoy and create drama.
And we've all been around people like this.
Oh my gosh, we've probably been that person.
Yeah.
You know, but it's the person who, in some kind of perverse way, gets significance out of being the center of drama.
Do you have any examples?
Well, yeah. I actually have a relative like this, and I have to be careful here so I don't get in trouble with them later in case they happen to listen to this podcast. But they always seem to have some drama that they're stirring up. You know, they're always the victim or something that's happened to them that's catastrophic or it's very dramatic, and they love telling the story. And it moves all the focus in any conversation back onto them. And I'm convinced that's why they do it, because they want to talk about their favorite subject, which is them.
Right.
And this particular person is not that accomplished. And so this is a way of getting focus that they probably otherwise couldn't get legitimately. And so that's something I really watch out for in talking to people. I want people to dial the drama down.
Right.
Because there's enough stuff that happens in business that is dramatic.
Yeah.
You know, things that don't go the way you expect, things that take a different trajectory from what you anticipated. And you want people that can deal with that in a level-headed way, certainly not inflate the facts beyond what they are and not dial them too far down beyond what they need to be, because they got to get the attention they need. But to put themselves at the center of the drama and always talking about that, I think is very counterproductive.
And just creates stress.
It does.
It creates stress for everybody involved, and it's unnecessary.
Yeah. And so I think you've got to be aware of that. And I think simply when you're interviewing people, you can see, you know, just tell me about your family life. Tell me about previous work experiences. Because oftentimes they will find, even if you have a good culture, and if they came from a situation where they were very dramatic, and they come into your situation, they're going to find it much the same as what they experienced before, because they're bringing their own atmosphere with them in a sense.
Yeah, and that can be cancerous for a great organization. If it's got a positive vibe, one bad person, it can really destroy the
Well, and the reason this one is so destructive is because you want people focused on the real problems of the business.
Right.
And not trying to help someone overcome their drama. I had an assistant that worked for me, this was probably 15 years ago. And this person had one thing after another. You know, there was one time where she was supposed to be at work getting me prepared for a meeting, and she didn't show up. And a few
hours, just didn't show up.
And I was near panic. And so finally, I heard from her about noon. She was supposed to be in at 8. And she had fallen down some stairs and broken her arm. So, you know, I mean, it's difficult to be hard on somebody when that happens.
Right.
But honestly, Stu, it was something like that every single week.
Right.
And it made the discussion always about her. And of course, she was the victim. And you really, I mean, you can't fire somebody like that. But finally, I kind of had to come to terms with it. And I caught her in a couple of lies where she was totally making up what had happened. And she was doing it for the drama and to keep from having any accountability.
Yeah. And that's frustrating for you.
Yeah, and it's not somebody I want to have in my business.
Right.
You know, maybe you could justify helping her in another context.
Yep.
But to hire somebody into your business that's got those kinds of doesn't have batteries.
Yeah.
You just can't afford it.
So the first warning sign of somebody that's going to be a drain on your energy and your team is that they enjoy to and create drama.
Yep.
What's the second?
The second one is they gossip and backbite.
Yeah, this one's bad.
This is a bad one. This creates a lot of sideways energy in your organization as well. And again, I think they do it in order to generate attention. They become the purveyor of information that everybody else doesn't have. You know, it's, hey, Stu.
Yeah, the source.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Megan.
Right.
And so they're the source. So they get to kind of enjoy that guilty pleasure of, you know, being somebody that can dispense information. Mm-hmm. We've got somebody in our neighborhood that's like that. You know, they've always got the inside scoop about some of the other neighbors. And it's a very awkward, you know, thing for everybody involved, but it creates sideways energy.
Right.
It also undermines trust. Hmm. And if there's one thing that's important in an organization, it's trust. That people support one another so that, you know, when you leave the room, I don't want you, Stu, wondering what your teammates are saying about you.
Right.
And when you're in an environment where people are gossiping about you, you know, eventually, to smart people, they think, I wonder what they're saying about me.
Totally.
When I'm not there.
Yeah, and that's just not a good situation for anybody. And this is even beyond work environment, too. I mean, this happens in all kinds of relationships where that same thought, if they're talking bad about this person when they're not here, I wonder what they're saying about me
exactly.
when I'm not there.
This is why it's so important. I've written about this before in the context of marriage, why it's always important to speak well of your spouse.
Right.
First of all, you get...
I was just going to say, I love you, honey, to my wife. I love you. You're amazing.
Good. But when you speak well of other people who aren't present and you show yourself loyal to people who aren't present, it creates tremendous respect and honor, a culture of respect and honor.
Yep.
And also, what you notice in others, it increases. So if all you're noticing is you're complaining about those people, you're backbiting about them, guess what you're going to do? You're going to start noticing where they're falling short,
right?
Which is ultimately going to have an impact on their behavior. You know, if you've ever had a boss who didn't really believe in you, who was second guessing you constantly, it affected your behavior.
Right.
You know, your performance was worse than it would have been.
You would have been tentative
right.
and apprehensive about sharing new ideas and all that kind of stuff.
So I know Dave Ramsey and his organization has a zero tolerance policy on gossip. And I think it's right. I don't know of many things that are more destructive to organizational culture than backbiting and gossip. And backbiting is probably even worse. Gossip can be kind of mindless and people just
let's
don't know what else to talk about.
Let's make the distinction. What's the difference between gossip and backbiting?
I see backbiting almost like slander. It has a more malicious intent. The person knows full well what they're doing. They're trying to plant a seed of discontent. They're trying to undermine your belief in that person. So they just bring up something thoughtfully and strategically designed to destroy that other person's credibility or their reputation. And I have absolute zero tolerance for that. I mean, if I smell that, not only would I not hire somebody like that, I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be around you. I think that's very destructive.
How do you identify that, though, in a new hire? Because that's rarely going to come out until after the fact. So are there some ways to identify that?
Yeah, I think one of them, we're going to get into this as a warning sign as well, but I think, does the person take responsibility for their own faults? Hmm. You know, if they had problems in a previous job, do they accept responsibility for that? Let me give you an example. I've actually been fired from 3 jobs in my life.
Hmm. Wait a minute. D. Michael Hyatt has been fired?
Yes, I have been. And fortunately, all of them occurred when I was very young.
Yeah.
But you know what? They were all my fault. Hmm. I was a knucklehead. You know, I deserved exactly what I got. And when you get people that try to make an excuse, like they'll say things like, well, I was kind of the victim of kind of a political thing that was going on, or it really wasn't my fault. You know, they're shifting blame.
Right.
And you don't want to see that. Or they're talking about their previous colleagues or their current colleagues in a derogatory way. You just got to be subtle. And this is why I think it's important to hire slow and fire fast. Because if you do a fast interview just to fill a position, and then you fill it quickly by just looking at a resume with somebody's experience, and you don't have the opportunity to interact with them, you're going to miss some of this stuff.
Right.
In fact, in the hiring process, one of the things I like to do is have several people on my team interview that person, especially for key hires.
Yeah.
Because other people will pick up and be sensitive to certain things that I might miss.
And your daughter, Megan, is very good at this because she's got great intuition.
She's got great radar.
Yeah.
And so does my wife. And so if I'm making a key hire of somebody that's going to ultimately report to me, ultimately somewhere in that process, Gail and I will take that person and their spouse to dinner.
Hmm.
Because we will pick up on stuff that's happening in the course of a conversation at dinner in a social context where people are more relaxed, then you probably won't pick up on that in a formal interview.
That's fascinating.
And so I can remember one key position when I was the CEO of Thomas Nelson I was hiring for. And this person had made it all the way through the series of interviews that we had set up. So generally speaking, everybody was bullish on this person. He was an obvious choice. He had a lot of experience, the exact skills we needed. It seemed like the perfect fit.
Yep.
So Gail and I went to dinner with him and with his wife. And I could just tell the way that they were relating together. I felt like he was a little disrespectful toward his wife.
Hmm.
He tended just to diminish her. He didn't honor her. He didn't value her opinion. Mm-hmm. He just kept, you could just tell him kind of bristle when she talked. And so I wasn't really fully picking it up. I thought, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. When I was about to offer him the job, because again, this was the culmination of a long series of things, including psychological tests and everything. Gail kicked me under the table as hard as she's ever kicked me. And I knew exactly what that meant.
Yeah.
And so we left that dinner without me offering him the job. And after that, I had somebody else come to me from a previous company where he worked. And she said, you dodged a bullet.
Wow. And it's fascinating too, because oftentimes, people instinctively know it's not a right fit.
Yeah.
But sometimes they have a hard time giving words to why they're not a right fit. For example, like I've known friends who were engaged to get married, and everybody around them knew that it was not a good fit. But there was the fear of like actually telling the person, this is not a good fit. It's almost like they had to figure it out themselves. And I've seen those situations kind of play out where ultimately the relationship crumbled. But it had to take time, but those warning signs were there.
Yeah, and you feel a little awkward as the person who has this intuition, or you notice something that's on the periphery of your radar and you can't quite put it into words. And you feel like, gosh, I hate to deny somebody an opportunity just because I have this feeling or I'm seeing something here that might be a minor issue.
Especially if you can't explain it properly, yeah.
But to get back to this particular warning sign, with gossip and backbiting, that's pretty objective behavior.
Yeah.
And I think we might want to excuse it, but I wouldn't excuse it. I would not bring somebody into your organization. Again, if you're trying to build a culture of honor and a culture of respect, and if trust is important in your organization, and it's important in every organization.
Well, we are talking about the 5 warning signs of somebody who's going to drain you and your team's energy. We've talked about the first two already. They enjoy and create drama. And number two, they gossip and backbite. We're going to get to the last three warning signs after this quick break.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 proven strategies for creating more margin for the things that matter most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Welcome back. Today, we are talking about the easy way to avoid hiring a fail. And we're talking about the warning signs, Michael, of somebody who's going to drain our energy or drain our team's energy. We talked about the first two already. Number one, they enjoy and create drama. Number two, they gossip and backbite. What's the third warning sign?
They complain about everything. You know, complaining is the exact opposite of gratitude.
Right.
And it's just indicative of a person's maturity, their emotional resilience, what they're going to be like in your organization. Because again, you get more of what you notice.
Yep.
And if somebody comes in and starts complaining about situations, I mean, first of all, there's a legitimate place for offering constructive criticism. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the person who complains, usually behind the person's back or in a context where no one can do anything to fix it.
Right.
But they're just complaining. And I think sometimes it's a cheap and easy way to create an emotional bond with other people or create rapport.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of complain and everybody kind of laughs and says, you know, yeah. I mean, you just think about people complaining about the weather.
Well, I had a situation actually last night. I was at a big event and, you know, it was a big soccer game and there were 20,000 people all trying to find public transportation after the event. Because the way that this event had worked was they had buses that were busing people in. And so we were waiting at our bus stop and there was a line and we were just waiting for the bus. And this gentleman came with his family. So it was him, his wife, and his three kids. The kids were probably in the age range of 5 to 8 years old. And all he was doing was complaining. This is ridiculous. We gotta wait for a bus. This is ridiculous. They got buses all around. Why isn't the bus here waiting for us? This is crazy. I paid $10 to get this bus so that when I came out, I could get this. And all he was doing was complaining.
Yeah.
And it was, and I just thought to myself, man, like, you're setting an example for your kids here. Like,
totally.
They're just totally listening to what their dad's saying. And his wife was like, honey, like, calm down. The bus will be here. And I said, no, don't tell me to calm down. If it's not here in 5 minutes, we're going to get a cab. This is crazy. I can't believe that we got to wait for this. And then he starts complaining about the woman who was trying to help organize everything. Why don't you have a walkie-talkie? You should have a walkie-talkie. I can't believe you would think about even doing this without walkie. It was just crazy. But all he was doing was complaining. I was standing there with my dad. I'm like, it's all about perspective. Like, I'm just
totally.
I'm just grateful that there's public transportation that's going to take us back. You know, we don't have to deal with the traffic and the chaos of the city. Like, and they were there. They got the buses got there in time. Like, everything was so well organized. But it was just amazing how what he was focusing on really got amplified. And it was.
Well, I think such a important characteristic I want in the people that I hire is their ability to reframe adversity.
Right.
And when somebody can't reframe adversity like that, that person was actually amplifying adversity.
Right.
So they were making it worse than it was.
Yep.
And it made everybody miserable, right?
Yeah, and it agitated. Yeah, it agitated all the people around him. So then everybody was starting to get more frustrated and agitated.
Yeah. So you want people that'll dial that down, kind of like drama, but it'll reframe it.
Right.
And we recently had an experience where we were riding that wonderful train from Durango, Colorado to Silverton. Mm-hmm. So we were on vacation and we were at actually Gail's family reunion. And so we were in this train when it broke down. It was supposed to be a 3.5 hour ride from Durango to Silverton. Broke down half the way there.
And it's out in the middle of nowhere.
It's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, you're in the middle of mountains, out in the middle of nowhere. It's beautiful.
But it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
So what was supposed to be a 3.5 hour trip took 7 hours.
Right.
And there was one guy that just complained and complained, and he was very vocal. And everybody in Gail's family was like, you know, if you're going to be stranded someplace, this is awesome.
Yes.
You know, we've got filter, we're not, food and water. We're not in the middle of, you know, anything barren. It's just, it's absolutely gorgeous no matter where you look.
It's almost like, yeah, it's like a picturesque, you know, scenery. It's like right out of a movie almost.
Yeah, it's a postcard.
Yeah.
And so, but it was all a matter of perspective.
Right.
But the thing that most people don't realize is that they can choose their perspective.
Mm.
You know, you can choose whether you want to be grateful or if you want to complain. And so that's another little subtle thing that I'm looking for, a warning sign,
yep.
that if somebody's complaining, it's probably not going to get better at my company. My company's not going to be that much better than the company they left.
Right.
It's just that their perspective is going to be worse.
So again, in a business context, when you're interviewing, are you asking specific questions to kind of draw this out?
Yes, I'm listening.
I see.
You know, and I think it's really important. But the most important thing you can do in an interview is just listen. Listen how they talk about what they've been through, see if they complain about their previous boss. You know, to just ask a straight up question like, well, tell me about the person you worked for last.
Right.
And just listen.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to tell you a lot about their perception and their mental state.
Gotcha. Okay. So we're talking about the 5 warning signs of somebody who's going to really drain your energy. We've covered the first 3. What's the 4th step or the 4th warning sign?
The 4th warning sign is that they need constant supervision. You know, that they're not self-managed or self-governed. And you want a person that not only takes initiative, but somebody who can complete a process without a lot of supervision. Because the truth is, I don't like to manage.
Yeah, and that's really why you're hiring somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to be, if you were going to have to manage them, you'd do the job yourself.
That's exactly right. I want people to take that job more seriously than I would ever take it.
Right.
You know, that really own it for themselves. Gail and I have an employee that works for us who goofed up a couple weeks ago, just made a mistake. And it was a pretty significant mistake. I won't go into the detail of it, but it was a pretty significant mistake. But, you know, we kind of took it in stride. We said, well, you know, mistakes happen and we'll totally get past this. It's totally fixable. And you've learned something, we've learned something. She was mortified.
Hmm.
You know, and to be honest, I like to see that, not for her suffering,
right?
But because I like the fact that she took her job that seriously.
She had ownership over it.
She had ownership. And there was nothing I could have said that would make her take it more seriously. In fact, I had to kind of talk her off the ledge,
right?
You know, and say to her, look, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You did fine. You know, we're not upset. It's okay. This is a really good learning experience for you. And we're glad it happened, frankly.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of people I want.
People who are going to take responsibility.
Yeah, I can think back when I was raising my girls, and as you know, I have 5 daughters. But one of them in particular has, on the Strength Finders, responsibility is, it may be your number 1 or number 2. I didn't know that at the time. But I knew that when that particular daughter did something wrong, if I just raised my eyebrow, she was like crying, you know, beating herself up. You know, other kids, you know, it took more serious
strategy. They were going to try to do whatever they could to get away.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, they would lie. They would blame somebody else, all that. But this one particular girl, she took responsibility seriously.
Yeah.
And I want that in an employee.
Because you want somebody who's not going to need supervision.
That's right.
Yep.
So that we can all be adults and do the work at hand.
Got it. Okay. So that's warning sign number 4. They need constant supervision. What's the 5th and final warning sign?
Well, this one is very related to the 4th one, is that is they won't accept responsibility. And here's how it looks. They do something. They've obviously made a mistake, or they've, you know, worse than a mistake, they've done something they shouldn't have done and they know it, but they don't take responsibility.
Right.
You know, it's somebody else's fault. It was somebody else was late with their assignment. And I learned this lesson myself, and I've told this story before, but I remember one particular month during the Great Recession, my company, Thomas Nelson, had just been bought by private equity, and we missed our numbers. We missed our revenue numbers, and we missed them by a significant amount. And so I had a consultant that came in, and the consultant asked me, she said, well, what went wrong? And I said, first of all, we're in the middle of a recession, you know, the economy.
Can't really help it.
Can't really help it. I said, second of all, You know, the sales manager just gave me bad information. Hmm. You know, he was absolutely confident that we were going to hit our numbers, and we didn't. So, you know, bad on him, he goofed. Hmm. And so she listened very thoughtfully as I went through my litany of excuses as to why we'd missed the number. And she said, okay, I get all that. It's the economy, the sales manager. She repeated the thing. So she knew that I knew that she had heard me. And then she said, but what was it about your leadership that led to this result?
That's like the punch to the gut that just makes it.
Oh, it was. And I was, to, you know, not to my credit, I was defensive. Hmm. And I said, didn't you hear what I just said?
Right.
And she said, no, I'm asking you, what was it about your leadership? She said this. She said, could you have done something different in leading these people that would have produced a different outcome? Hmm. And I thought for a minute, I said, yes. She said, so like, what would you have done? She said, well, I probably wouldn't have taken the sales manager's projections at face value. I probably would have dug into that a little bit deeper. I probably would have checked in with him a few more times to make sure that we were on track,
yeah,
make sure he had the resources and so forth. So she said, so you're saying that you could have led differently? And I said, yes. She said, what about the economy? And I said, the economy doesn't have anything to do with it. I mean, I was like, just an excuse. Even I knew that was just an excuse. And so she said, so it really was about your leadership, wasn't it? And I said, I want to say, yes, ma'am, it was. No, but I said, yes, it was. And it was.
Right.
And so really what I want in the people that work for me, and I realize that even, you know, I didn't get to that readily. You know, it took an experience for me to get to that. But I want people that are willing to be teachable and learn and accept responsibility. Even if, and I heard somebody say this one time a long time ago, even if you're only 10% responsible for the outcome, take responsibility, take 100% responsibility for the 10% you're responsible for.
Right.
Because you hear people in these situations all the time, they say, well, yeah, but he did this and she did that. And they're just blaming, which is the opposite of taking responsibility.
Yep.
The question is, what's the 10%, 5%, maybe it's the 1%. Are you willing to take 100% responsibility for where you screwed up, for the mistake you made, for the offense that you gave, whatever it was?
And I know this is, sometimes it's hard to do because like, even for the little things, you know, one of the things that I'm really consciously trying to work on is being more punctual, being on time. Mm. Because positivity is my number one strength in Strength Finders. And so if I get somewhere and my absolute best time in getting there is like 22 minutes, then now that's just the average time. And so
right.
I will leave myself 22 minutes if I need to get to that place again. But the reality is, that was the absolute fastest time I could have ever gotten there.
Yep.
So the most likely time is probably 30 minutes, for example. And so I've been trying to work on that. And, you know, if I know it was late, I would say, well, I was, you know, this time around, I got caught up in traffic or, you know, this happened or that happened. But the reality was I should have been leaving 30 minutes
right.
rather than 22. And I find even in everyday life that we all deal with that to a certain extent. And what you're saying is that you want somebody, when you're hiring, you want somebody who's going to take responsibility for all aspects.
Yeah, I have another example, too. That one was a great one about being late, because very few people take responsibility for that. Come into a meeting late and don't even acknowledge the fact that they were late, which I think is also a disrespectful thing to everybody else's time. But I used to have a VP of marketing when I was at Thomas Nelson, who, whenever she made a mistake, she was the first person to tell me.
Right.
I loved that about her. And that became my new standard. And I used to say to my people, look, I do not want to hear about something that's gone south, you know, something that's blown up, something that's broken. I want to hear about it from you.
Right.
Don't make me find out through the grapevine, because then it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
But if you'll tell me, you know, I'll be fine.
And I find that with parenting.
Yes, exactly.
It's almost better if the kids come and tell me that something has happened, they've broken something or whatever, then me later find out that they had broken it and didn't tell.
Well, then you're not hard on them.
Yeah.
I had a boss one time who was very, very hard on people. And he was particularly hard on people that wouldn't accept responsibility. And I observed that very early on, that if I would just go in and admit that I'd messed up,
yep.
He was awesome. He didn't beat me up, didn't make me feel worse than I needed to feel. He was just like, well, did you learn something? Yeah, I did. Okay, it's all good.
You're right.
But guys that wouldn't take responsibility ate their face off.
Well, I think part of that too, from a quote boss perspective, is that you have a higher level of respect for
yes.
somebody who's willing to come forward, admit mistakes, because then the reality is now it's about coaching and helping yes. them, you know, get a different result next time rather than a disciplinary action, which is you didn't tell me and you've made this mistake and now I've had to, I've had to find out.
So, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Well, we have been talking about the five warning signs of somebody who's going to drain your energy. Number one, they enjoy and create drama. Number two, they gossip and backbite. Number three, they complain about everything. Number four, they need constant supervision. And number five, they won't accept responsibility. As we look to wrap up this episode, Michael, can you offer us a few practical steps that you take to safeguard your team from the draining effect of team members who do not have batteries?
Yeah, I jotted down four of these. And the first one is to hire slowly. And I kind of emphasize this as we've been talking through this episode, that a lot of these things don't show up in the first interview because
right.
everybody's on their best behavior. The candidate's certainly presenting themselves in the best possible light. And we're also giving them the benefit of the doubt. So you got to hire slowly. I like multiple people to interview the candidate.
And you also have multiple steps oftentimes too, right?
Yeah.
Like there's multiple things that you would require a potential candidate to do.
We're literally right in the middle of hiring a major position for our company right now.
Yeah.
And so the first thing we did was define the hiring process. Mm-hmm. Who's going to talk to him first? Well, first of all, what are the qualifications? What are the duties? What are the different test results and all that? So we go through that. Then who's going to interview them? And then finally, I'm going to interview them and how that whole process is going to look. So we are very careful. It's slow. I think sometimes people get frustrated with how long it takes. But I really believe that advice of hire slowly and fire fast.
So potential candidates listening to the podcast, they're going to want to win Gail over on the final dinner.
That's exactly right. Pay attention there.
Okay, so that's the first practical step is hiring slowly. What else?
Confront issues candidly. You know, when something bugs you,
yep.
or something that's driving you crazy, you've got to be able to speak to it. And I wished I was actually stronger at this than I am, because I don't like confrontation, but it's absolutely essential. You know, you've got to be candid about what you don't like before it festers and becomes something worse.
And becomes something that you end up focusing on. And then it, like as we were saying earlier, it can naturally, you know, amplify at that point.
That's right.
Got
to nip at the bud.
Yes. I love this point in particular when it comes to marriage as well, because that's one of the things that I've discovered with my wife. If there's something bugging us, it's way better if we talk about it earlier rather than later, because later I might even not even realize it was potentially an issue for her or vice versa. You know, it was an issue for me. But if we talk about it up front, we prevent all that time that
totally.
You know, it can fester and become a bigger thing.
Otherwise, you invest it with all this meaning and then it becomes this strategic thing, this malicious thing when it was, no, he just left the cap off the toothpaste.
I've even been in a situation where I felt upset. This was early on in our marriage where I felt upset. And it was bubbling and boiling. And then I didn't even really know what I was upset about. I just knew that I was upset.
Yeah.
And it was just because I didn't address, you know, whatever it was up front.
Yeah, absolutely.
Funny. Okay. So number one, hire slowly. Number two, confront issues candidly. What's the third practical step?
Number third one is fire quickly. You know, and I think people typically do the reverse. They hire impulsively or quickly.
Yep.
And then they take forever to get those people out of the organization when they realize that they don't work. And I have been very guilty of firing slowly.
Me too.
You know, and I've tolerated things way beyond what I should have.
Yep.
And I've had the experience of letting somebody go and everybody on my team said, man, we wondered when you were going to get to that, you know, or it's about time.
Yep.
And so I've tried to discipline myself to be much faster with that. But it's tough because I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I do believe going through a process.
Yep.
You know, so that when somebody has an issue that needs to be addressed, that they've got an opportunity to remediate it, and that you can speak the truth to them, give them a chance to fix it. But then if they don't fix it, they got to go.
We had a situation with my previous company that we hired a developer, and we were looking for him to play a big role in our company, in our software company. And I remember distinctly on paper, this guy was a rock star, off the charts, had all kinds of qualifications, and we were ecstatic. And then once we hired him and we got into the actual practicality of him coding and developing, projects just took forever.
Wow. Yeah.
And initially we're just like, okay, well maybe it's, you know, the first project, he's just kind of getting comfortable and familiar. But then it just kept happening again and again and again. And it became a situation where we didn't fire quickly. We needed to,
yeah,
but we didn't. And it cost not only a lot of time and money, but it was that energy. Like we're talking about here this whole episode, it's the energy drain on the team,
yes,
because we weren't making progress. And it really affected us. Ultimately, we ended up firing him, but it was way too late. And I learned a big lesson from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like having a short in your electrical system.
Yeah.
It just drains the whole thing.
You're carrying like this extra weight, you know, along as the team. It's unnecessary. Okay, so that's practical step number four is fire quick, or number three, fire quickly. What's practical step number four?
Celebrate the high voltage team members.
Ah.
So the ones that really do have the energy, that are self-starters, that take initiative, that complete projects with excellence, celebrate those people.
Right.
Because you're going to get more of what you notice, more of what you celebrate. And the people that do come with batteries, that are self-starting, all of that, they have friends that are like them.
Right.
And this is, I found, the best source of quality employees is get somebody who invites their friends and their associates and the people they're around into the company.
I had a conversation this past weekend where somebody was asking me, how do you find good people? And I said, well, typically, once you find one
yes.
great person, there's a high probability that they are hanging around with other A-level people.
Yep.
And all you need to do is kind of put the word out in terms of what you're looking for. Because the other thing I said to him was, A players are typically, they're employed. I mean, they're not like,
right.
you know, out there, you know, out of work, because they're employed because they're great A players. But you got to put the word out there so that they are aware of opportunities that may be popping up in your within your company.
So true.
Awesome. So those are the four practical steps we can take right now to safeguard our time. Number one, hire slowly. Two, confront issues candidly. Three, fire quickly. And number four, celebrate high voltage team members. If you have enjoyed today's episode, you can find the show notes over at michaelhyatt.com. You can also find the video of today's episode at michaelhyatt.com as well. Also, we'd love to invite you to rate the podcast on iTunes. It'll take you about 30 seconds, but by doing so, it's going to help us get the show in front of more people like you. You're an A player. We want this show in front of more people like you, and we'd really appreciate you rating the podcast. Michael, as we wind down, do you have any final thoughts?
Stu, I think it's this. There's nothing that you and I do as leaders that's more important than selecting the people that we're going to hang out with, that we're going to work with. They can either be a drain on our organizations, or they can add net energy that makes it more robust, more accomplished, more likely to succeed. So take your time, look for the people with the batteries. Those are the people that will give you the unfair advantage.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And thank you for listening. Until next time, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.